Hi, this is Lori, your host of Happiness Hangout, a space to come and elevate your happiness levels. You, me, and our guests will discuss and help you apply happiness to all aspects of your life, even if you're already happy. Get your daily boost of information to help you feel your best. Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Happiness Hangout. This is Lori Peters, your host today, and it's our usual every other Wednesday at 5 p.m. Pacific. So very glad to be here with you and bring you the best of information on how to make your relationships better. I would like to tell you that I'm very excited about our topic tonight because if you know me at all, I've been listening for a while. I do love to use my sense of humor. That is something when someone asked me a long time ago, what would you like the world to remember about you? I said that I made you laugh. So I'm loving the topic that we're having tonight, which is humor and laughter in relationships and really in life in general. So I'd like to bring on our guest tonight and tell you a little bit about her, Maya Aziz. She is a professional social worker. She's got over 20 years experience in child protection, pediatric rehabilitation, and currently as assistant administrative chief of allied health services at the Montreal's Children's Hospital in Montreal, Canada. An active member of the Association for Applied and Therapeutic Humor and certified humor professional, Maya is a contributing writer to The Positive Psychology People and host of the weekly talk show Morning Moments with Maya, conversations of love and laughter through which she explores applications of humor and positive psychology in health, leadership, and your well-being. Maya Aziz, welcome to the Happiness Hangout.
Hello, Lori. How are you?
I'm doing really great. So how perfect that an expert in therapeutic humor would be on the Happiness Hangout. I think this is a pretty darn good fit, and I really wanted to do this topic for a long time. So I'm really glad that we found each other.
Well, I'm honored to be here, and I agree. What a perfect match, because to be happy, I really believe you need to have laughter. The two are so connected, and both so connected when we talk about good, healthy, positive relationships as well.
Exactly. So, you know, I do want to let the audience know a little bit about what you do. We always like to start off with that. So I understand that you're in social work. You've worked in children protection, et cetera, which I know can be a very challenging field for people. It psychologically, because we all know that we can't, when we see something happening to children we don't approve of, we really can't take it. Let's just put it that way. It's too much to bear sometimes. So, you know, the fact you worked in that field and you've been a social worker, and knowing the need for being able to find humor appropriately and being able to let off steam. I teach counseling at the college level, and I talk to soon to be counselors about taking care of themselves and balance and happiness. And we talk a lot about de-stressing, and, you know, we have so much to discuss around that, because I think laughter and humor, it's such a de-stressor. I mean, there's just nothing better than that. So I want to get started just talking a little bit about, tell us a little bit about what you do. I know that you do therapeutic humor. Tell us a little bit about the work that you do just in general.
Sure. So, as you said and described so well, I am a professional social worker by education, and I worked as a frontline social worker, as you said, in child protection and various other sort of areas. And it certainly is a stressful job, as is. I think I would say that maybe about everyone who works in healthcare. You know, the people who treat us and help us feel better have very stressful jobs, and self-care for them is really, really important. And so a number of years ago, I actually did an academic program, a 3-year program, to become a certified humor professional. And yes, that is a real thing, a CHP. Sometimes people think I make that up, but no, it's a real thing. I did have to study very hard to do that. And I now use specifically humor and elements of positive psychology, which is another area, of course, that is linked and also of interest to me. I do some writing and some speaking. I do workshops. And my interest really is in how humor can be used both in the workplace and in our personal lives to promote our well-being, our connection with other people, our relationships, and our general, you know, coping with stressful moments. Because let's face it, life is hard when you're an adult, don't you think?
Yes, definitely.
And we need all kinds of strategies, and humor is a pretty good one in terms of getting through.
It sure is. And you find when you're able to do that, along with some other things that I've learned through the years and worked on myself with, it's humor. And also you have to learn how to laugh at yourself and at things. And sometimes you have to take a step back and go, whoa, I have just gone overboard with this. Like, really? You know, so, I mean, you know, you actually have to find and figure out what those things are. And then you make life so much easier. I'm just kind of making a general statement, but you're right. No matter what occupation you're in or what you're doing, when we're really getting all wound up about things that, when you take a step back and look at them, not that they're not important, but some things you say, you know what, this is not worth it. Or this is really kind of comical. Or, you know what, I'm just going to release this or whatever. When you learn to do that, and when you learn to deal with humor, it's even better. So
you're so right. One of the great things about humor is how it gives us perspective, right? So, you know, those moments when you're in like a really serious situation, or you think you're in a serious situation, or you're a big argument and it's tense and it's heavy and, oh my gosh, it feels like the end of the world. And then someone cracks a joke and all of a sudden you're laughing and the tension is broken. And, you know, in seconds, it gives you this perspective of, you know what, okay, maybe the world is not ending. And that's that sort of, you know, psychological distance, I think, that you're talking about in terms of being able to realize, okay, things are perhaps not so bad.
Well, that's so true. And sometimes they really are bad. You know, I'm being reminded of scenarios, you know, just in my life where we've, you know, had relatives pass, very devastating things. And I just remember we've used humor in my mom's side of the family. It's just ridiculous. And, you know, we had a very tragic situation happen, and we were at my uncle's funeral, and my mother is like putting her hand like over her mouth. And I could tell, you know, I know my mother, you know, and I started smirking because I just knew. She said, look at your grandmother, because my grandmother's just comical. She doesn't know she's funny. You know, one of those people. And my mother so needed that release, because that was her brother who passed. And she so needed that release. And my grandmother she was just a character. And she was just going on and on about something. And my mother's trying not to laugh. And I thought, oh, my mom really needed that moment just for a few minutes. And even it was appropriate because it was really necessary. So, you know, when you talk about working with children as you have in scenarios, sometimes it's a stress release. Like, you have to get away from it, or you have to find something in it that lets you release that. Or I think it can become too much.
For sure. And I definitely remember seeing that amongst, you know, other child protection workers. It's part of the culture, as it is, you know, for people who work in fire departments or emergency rooms or a lot of these really high stress jobs. They have quite a culture of kind of insider humor as a way of coping, because that is the release that is necessary. Otherwise, you couldn't cope in those situations.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So how did you get into this field? How did you make that transition? As you're working as a social worker, why did you go in the direction of humor?
That's a great question. And sometimes I think life just sort of happens the way it's supposed to. It's not really a field that I even knew existed. My whole life, I've always loved humor and I've gravitated towards it and used it myself just instinctually to feel better in different kinds of situations. But I never really understood it. And I happened to come across a little bit by fluke. Someone sent me a video one day and said, "Oh, Maya, you would love this video." And it was a video that led me to the website of the Association for Applied and Therapeutic Humor, which is an association, a network of hundreds of professionals from around the world who practice, promote, study, research, consider uses of humor, applications of humor and therapeutic humor in all different fields, from healthcare to business to leadership to education, because, of course, humor is great for teaching as well. And so I became slowly involved with this association. I'm now a member of that association. And part of their one of the services that they offer is this academic program, which I did end up doing. And that's sort of how I fell into it. And it's interesting how we find ourselves ending up where, we were meant to be. And the applications are so varied that in the work that I was doing already, all of a sudden I had another tool, which was just wonderful.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, we have been talking about what we want to talk about today. And this is an interesting question to me that you provided me, because I really don't know the difference. So I'm going to ask you, say there's a difference between laughter, mirth, and humor. Tell us about that question. When you sent me that question, I want to know more about what that means.
Sure. Yeah, some people sort of say, "Oh, so you mean you laugh a lot?" I said, "Well, that's a piece of it, but that's not all of it." So, you know, these three terms, so laughter is really the physical experience when you're laughing. It's the physiological experience. It's what happens. It's the ha ha ha. It's the breathing, which is actually very much like yogic breathing. It's, you know, you have increased oxygen, you're exhaling your carbon dioxide, your stress hormones are reducing, you've got increased antibodies, it triggers the release of endorphins, which is why you feel good. It's that whole physiological process. Mirth really refers to more the emotional experience. So it's that sense of joyfulness that we have when we're laughing, and I would say particularly when we're laughing with other people. And then humor, which is really the one that is particularly interesting to me, is more the cognitive experience of when we process information or we see something that's funny and we make the connections of something that seems, you know, a sort of a situation, the incongruity of a situation that's amusing to us. It's that cognitive process that happens that causes the amusement for us, which of course is very individual. And that's sort of the difference between those three terms. So there's the physical, the emotional, and the cognitive that all goes together in that experience.
I see. Because, you know, we haven't known each other but a little while, and I am a true extrovert. I love being the life of a party, and I love telling stories. Like that feeling, I get a feeling when something comes to me, you know, that split second, you know how everybody thinks they're funny. I actually do think I am funny. Okay. And I have been told I am, so I hope that's true. But that moment that I get right before I know something's coming out of me that's going to be good, like that feeling just gives me a quick, like, that must be those endorphins going off. Mm-hmm. Because I just, the split second I know, I have 1 second to get this in my head and blurt it out. It just feels really good. I like being in that role. Now, other people, they can't stand it. They want to laugh, but they want to be entertained. They don't want to do the entertaining. But those of us who do enjoy doing the entertaining, it truly is a natural high. And you make a lot of sense when you explain all those. I knew those, but until you put them all together, I thought, wow, talk about one of the best things that you could do for yourself is allowing yourself to laugh, be funny, or let somebody entertain you.
Exactly. And that really is, it's a high. It's a high, and it can be a high once you experience it. It feels so good that it can become addictive in a good way. The more you practice it, the more you see the funny, the more you want the funny, and your overall well-being increases.
Well, you know, there are people who are naturally funny. Do you believe that people who truly aren't funny can be funny? I think they can, but they don't realize they are. But you can't make yourself have that ability, can you?
That's a great question. I mean, I do think that you can develop an ability to be funny. And there are wonderful people out there who actually coach, you know, regular people to be funny. And you can learn their tricks, their strategies. I mean, comedy really is both a science and an art. At the same time, you know, I think it's important to remember that, you know, getting something out of humor doesn't mean that you have to create it. You can get just as much out of it by seeing it and appreciating it as those who create it. So you don't have to suddenly, write a half-hour stand-up routine to benefit from what we're talking about. You can appreciate the funny in situations, and that, for sure, everybody can do.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, a friend comes to mind. Before we get into using humor in relationships, I have a friend, I would call him a friend. I met him in Cleveland. We have some really cool parts of town. And this is an Irish bar. It's right in a cool area. And this guy, who's a bartender, is hilarious. And it was interesting because after I got to know him for a while, we go down there, you know, several times to partake in downtown activities, whatever. And he told me an interesting story. He said, "You know what you'd find really shocking about me?" I said, "What?" He said, "If you and I were at a party, I go into a corner and hide. I don't talk to people. I don't speak." I go, "Well, how do you?" He goes, "This is like I'm an actor." He said, "I come to work and I'm an actor." I said, so you being on like this is a show that you perform for sometimes 12 hours a day. Because I'm telling you, this guy is on. He's energetic. He's running. He's making jokes. He's hilarious. You know, I see pictures of his kids. We talk about personal stuff. And I said, "You mean in a corner I'd have to go in there and kind of dry?" He goes, "Yeah." I'm very introverted and quiet. And I thought, how interesting when we talk about learning to do something. I can't imagine the energy. For me, it takes no energy to be like that because that's how I'm, you know, made. But for him to put out all that energy and all that comedy, and he just makes you laugh constantly, I think, boy, you would think that would wear someone like that out. But I suppose if you want to be an aspiring actor, maybe that's his way of getting it out. I don't know. But I just find that interesting because most of my very quiet friends laugh a lot. And when they do say something funny, it's hilarious because they don't say it unless they really, really want to say it. So I just find people interesting who you just wouldn't think are doing things around comedy that bring it out in ways that you just wouldn't think would work for them, but it does. And it gets, I'll tell you what, he's the greatest bartender and he's made a lot of money at it and he gets great, great tips. I mean, really, he gets great tips because he's like he's your friend. I mean, you know all about each other and he treats you like gold and that's the name of the game in his business. But still, that I just can't imagine trying to be an introvert. Like I try to be quiet at times. It's tough. But forcing me to be an introvert for 12 hours just wouldn't be possible. So I'm like, how does this guy do this? So I just wanted to tell that little story just to show that, hey, you just never know, you know, who people really are until you really, truly get to know them.
So true. So true. And so for you, you know, it's sort of instinctual to be like that. And for other, it sounds like, you know, this person was really sort of built this craft to be able to perform and be funny that way. So you're right. You never know what's hiding inside somebody. Eh?
That's right. That's right. So we're going to talk about the good, bad, and the ugly with humor, when to use it, when not to use it. We can certainly talk in generalities, but we can also start getting into the relationship. When I'm saying relationship, I'm talking about loving relationships, personal couples relationships. But again, we can talk general as well. So tell us about what you've experienced in the people you've worked with or anything you like to tell us around the good, bad, and the ugly of humor. Not that there's ugly, but we can use it wrong. I know we can use it wrong sometimes.
So. Yeah, there can be ugly, and I'm sure you've witnessed it. I mean, you know, I think maybe we'll start there. In terms of the ugly, you know, I think using humor appropriately, it's really about timing, content, and your audience, right? So although there are rare times when I would say you really, really should not use humor of any kind, for sure there are moments. I mean, when you're with someone who's experiencing something really, really painful and they're really in the depth of some sort of a crisis, that is perhaps not the moment to use humor in that very, very small window. Perhaps they need something else. That's not to say, like you described, you know, a funeral kind of a situation, there's often good uses of humor and very necessary uses of humor in serious moments of life. I mean, I've seen beautiful experiences, you know, people on their deathbed, you know, cracking jokes and having this beautiful moment of connection between loved ones through humor. But there are maybe certain moments where it's just not appropriate. And the content is important, so that even in those serious moments, that you can't be making fun of the horrible situation or the horrible thing that has happened. That's not what's funny. There's sometimes things that are happening around the situation that can be, you know, amusing or humorous, and the people who are suffering because of this experience will also find that humor. So we have to be careful about what we're making fun of. If someone's in a horrible accident, we're never going to, you know, make a joke about the fact that they were in an accident, but there might be some experience in the hospital that happened that was humorous, that could be appropriate. And then there's the piece about the audience, where you need to kind of know who your audience is. And if you have a very close relationship with the people that you're using humor with, you might be able to go a little bit further in your humor. But we do need to be careful when it's people that we maybe don't know so well, or that don't know us so well, and maybe don't know our intention of the use of humor so well because they don't know us. We need to be careful, because sometimes things can be taken the wrong way as well. So I think those are the three elements that you just need to be a little bit conscious of in terms of determining if it's appropriate or not. But having said that, I would say there's a whole lot of really appropriate and great moments to use humor.
Definitely. And when we're talking about relationships, when we're talking about, you know, being with somebody as your partner for a very long period of time, I just think it can be a lifesaver. I wouldn't know how to exist without it. But you know, when you're talking in times of even stressful times, I mean, I'm thinking about it going, you know, watching other couples and talking to people about their relationships and the way that they do it. Every time I see that connection of laughter and joking around together, it just seems, I don't know. They just seem to, people like that just seem to have a stronger bond together, or they're able to get through things. I don't know what it is, but especially, you know, when you have a loving partner, you're going to go through a lot together. So do you have any recommendations for couples in terms of using it? Like, you know, when we're talking about conflict, for instance, we can have conflict at work in couples. We can have conflict anywhere. Using humor in when you have conflict. Have you ever worked with that, or have any comments about that?
I sure do. I you know, I'm listening to you talk and I'm sitting here, you can't see me, but I'm nodding my head. And partly from, you know, experience with other people, but even personally, Lori, I have to tell you, you know, I've been married for over 20 years. And if you were to ask me what is the secret to our relationship, which is a wonderful one, you know, and we've had hard experiences like anybody else, the first thing that would come to mind is the humor between us, and the fact that we laugh together. And I've said to my husband a number of times, you know, as long as I know that we can laugh together, I know that we're okay. And so I really do think that you're absolutely right, that it can be this really essential element in a relationship. You know, what is a good and healthy relationship? One where, you know, although there will always be challenging times and difficult times, where there's also these series of positive shared experiences, right? That's how you build a relationship, through positive shared experiences. And many of those can be through play and humor. And I mean, there's a lot of love in laughter, don't you think?
Well, definitely. And, you know, I'm sitting here thinking of a couple that I know. They were married over 30 years. They're passed away now. And one of them had a huge sense of humor. The other one loved to laugh, was quieter. And I was around this couple, but they sort of lost their sense of humor with each other. It's like they both had it. I could see it elsewhere, going on elsewhere, but it wasn't happening with them. And I can't help but think, okay, so there's other problems going on. So when you're losing that sense to be able to do that together, you're losing just such a huge part of what makes a relationship happy. And I mean, I don't know if you've worked with couples, but do you see in your work people who, or do you have any experiences you could tell us about, no names necessary, that where people have, of course, but have people have, you know, how they maybe recaptured that humor, or, you know, they didn't have it and they found it, or any kinds of experiences like that?
You know, that's interesting. There's a couple actually that comes to mind, a couple that I know quite well who, you know, they raised a couple of kids. They were together for a very long time. I think when they were young and they got together quite young, they had a very playful and laugh-filled relationship. And then they had some kids when they were quite young. And life, you know, of course, gets more serious when you suddenly have the responsibility of parenting and various other things and financial responsibilities. And sometimes that comes with, you know, dreams having to be put aside a little bit. And I think they went through a lot of things. And I would definitely say there was a stretch of time where, just like you described, the laughter and the playfulness kind of disappeared a little bit between them. And I would say perhaps the relationship was not as healthy. And that for me really is a sign. When people are not laughing together, that is a sign that there's something up. And what was interesting, though, in this case, you know, I always like to share stories with positive endings, is after their kids left home when they were grown, they managed to actually, I don't think it was easy at first, but they were sort of forced to reconnect with each other, because all of a sudden they couldn't, you know, just focus on the kids. There was just the two of them left in the house, and managed to find that spark and sort of remember, I think, a little bit the laughter and the playfulness. And when you see them now and they're older and they, you know, they're grandparents, I see that again, you know, this element that was missing for quite a period of time. So I do think it's possible. I think there's a willingness that has to be there on both sides, and people have to sort of remember, you know, what it was like, perhaps, and how good it felt. And that's not always so easy, right? Sometimes we forget things, life happens, and it's hard sometimes to come back to that.
What's really interesting about you saying that is where that conversation always goes is, well, the kids left the house and they had nothing to relate to or talk about, and they ended up getting divorced. That's the story I always hear. Yeah. That's always, you are the first person who's ever told the story differently. Oh. And I thought, you know, I've never heard of people, and I'm sure people do reconnect, and, you know, but if you let yourself get too far, you know, sometimes there is a way back and sometimes there isn't. I think it depends on a lot of different things. Who the person is, what their willingness is, what's happened in the relationship, you know, how is the connection still there on some level? So to hear you actually say that they finally looked at each other and go, oh, there you are, you know, kind of thing. Wow. You know, it is nice to hear, you know, that people are doing that, and that you've heard of people doing that, because I've never heard it.
You know, what's interesting, what I think actually helped them was their grandchildren. And in having grandchildren and the shared experience of being grandparents, and kids, of course, are the greatest source of laughter, right? You know, it's all about laughter and play with kids. I think that was really a source of bringing back this sort of shared playfulness and fun and laughter in their home. And I truly believe they have such enjoyment in those grandkids together. together, I think that was a real positive factor. I think you are right. I mean, I also think that there's many more stories that don't end so well. So I'm certainly happy for this family, but it is possible.
Well, you know, the stories, this is the grandkids is what I wanted to say. Boy, can that really re-energize life? Because, you know, it's funny. You and I have been obviously around a lot of people with kids. Do you have children?
I do.
I don't. That's not my gig. I have a dog. I have my four-legged daughter. So that's what I love. But I observe people with kids, and you just notice so many couples falling sort of away from each other. They just concentrate on the kids. They lose each other in this. And when I do one of my presentations on happiness, one of the studies I read is that I find interesting is raising children does not make people happy. What people are happy about and the reason they want to have kids, it's after they're raised. It's the idea of having children that people are enamored with, not actually having them, because it's obviously, if I can say this, a day-to-day grind. And I always think I really admire couples who have children and really get into it in terms of they see the fun in raising the kids, because I know how stressful it must be. I can see it. If both parents are working or you have these stressful lives, the kids, you know, are in too many activities sometimes, or you don't have time for each other or for yourself, for the balance you need. Everybody gets out of whack. But if you can get that right, you know, and you can really enjoy the children being raised, I think sometimes people miss that. And then they don't get it until the grandkids come, because they adore the grandkids and they can send them home filled with sugar or whatever. But they've got those grandkids and they can do that then. I know some couples who really enjoy their kids. And I think that's something people need to stop and really take a look at. Are you enjoying your children? Are you having some, I know you have to be the parent, but are you having fun with them? Are you teaching them that life isn't so serious all the time? Are you balancing yourself by saying no to every kid being in three activities and no, you can only do one or two? And yes, I need me time so I could be a better parent for you. I say that because all that fits together. And nobody's laughing when, especially mommy and daddy, are off balance. So it just all fits together so well. I think people have to maybe become more conscious of what they're doing.
For sure. And I'm reacting over here. First of all, it sounds very sad what you're describing. I happen to have six kids myself.
Wow.
And my goodness. I have to say, we enjoy our kids so much every day that the idea of people not enjoying that makes me, I mean, physically sad. And again, you know, of course, I think about humor. I mean, with our kids, and, you know, many of them are now older. They're kids, but they're young adults. We enjoy laughing. I mean, you know, we all have smartphones, of course, right? All kids have smartphones now. And so we're a family who loves puns. I don't know if you like puns. And so we will sort of, you know, write silly puns and text puns to each other all day long. And this can go on and on and on, trying to, you know, invent the most ridiculous pun. But we have this kind of relationship. And I agree with you that I think it's really important that parents try to be conscious of that, because the way that we show or model the kinds of experiences and relationships that our kids are surrounded with, that's what they're going to then go on and build in their own lives. So how can we expect our kids to go on and have happy, laugh and love filled relationships if that's not what they've experienced growing up? I mean, I think it's just so important that we're conscious right from day one all the way through.
And I do know couples that are really great at it, even single parents who are really great at it. I've seen too many that aren't. And I guess, again, being conscious of what's going on, making a shift, because it's no fun to be dreary and mad all the time. I mean,
oh my gosh,
it's just no fun. But, you know, obviously there are people who let it get the best of them. And I think we just have to, again, we're always talking about taking a step back. But, you know, if you've got kids, it can be, I can imagine how overwhelming, I mean, that it could be. But then again, you are that type of person. And I do know some like you, obviously, who use their own sense of humors. But, you know, it does start with the couple, and it starts, like you say, the connection. Mm-hmm. Sense of humor is just a huge connection. And I mean, really, you mention humor in connection. I mean, is there anything we've missed about connection that we haven't really talked about so far today?
I mean, it really connects us in the most basic human way, and in a positive way. You know, if you think about it, like if we're talking about relationships here, it's very, very hard to be, you know, to feel angry or to feel hate or to feel frustrated in the same moment that you're laughing with somebody, right? Because laughter connects us in that very natural, positive humanness that we all are connected. That's the reality. It grounds us in a very present moment. And sharing that experience connects us. You know, maybe if I can share you a story, I'm thinking of something that a moment where my own husband made me laugh once in kind of an interesting situation. And I think it's a good example of connection. You know, when one of our kids was a baby, she had a number of medical issues. And so when she was very, very young, and she's fine now, just to say that, we spent a lot of time in the hospital. And, you know, I can remember quite vividly a period where, you know, we were basically living in the hospital, and it was nighttime, and she was, you know, in her hospital crib. And like you say, parenting can be really hard at certain moments. And this was one of those moments for us. And I was exhausted, and I was just done, and things were not going, you know, the way that we had hoped. And I, you know, I sort of fell apart, and, you know, I was crying in the room, and then, you know, she was sleeping. And my poor husband was trying to sort of reassure me. And you know, the nurse popped her head in and said, you know, is there anything that you need before I go off? My shift is ending. And my husband looked at her and, without missing a beat, said, could we maybe get another crib for my wife?
Oh.
And, you know, it sounds like, oh my gosh, he said what? But no, the fact that we had already built such a relationship, for me, I mean, I burst out laughing.
Yeah.
We both just, and it broke the tension. And that was actually, you know, it sounds kind of odd, but it was actually a real moment of connection for us, because, you know, he was obviously safe enough in our relationship to make a joke like that, to know that I was going to laugh. It reminded me of our relationship. And it was actually sort of a feeling of, okay, it's okay, we're going to be fine. And so, you know, it can have this interesting sort of connection between a couple, I think. You know, or you think about, you know, I'm sure you've had this experience, you're arguing, right? There's something, I don't know, some financial something, or something serious happens, and you're arguing with your partner, and it's really heavy. You know, those discussions where there's long periods of silence, and it's just really heavy, heavy energy. And then someone cracks a joke. And all of a sudden it breaks and changes the energy and connects you, or reminds you of the connection that you have. It doesn't mean the serious situation disappears, but I think it can unite you again, if, of course, you've already built that kind of relationship. I mean, there's all, you know, all kinds of complexities to that. But then we share humorous stories. I mean, don't we all have sort of like secret jokes with our partners as well, that only we know about? Yes. And only we laugh about? And mm-hmm. You can be out at a dinner party and something happens and you both look at each other and you start laughing and no one knows why, because you're connected through that experience.
And nobody else gets it. And it is fun. You know, you're right. It's all those things people don't think about. You kind of can take them for granted too. And you can lose them. You take them for granted. You don't realize what you have sometimes until you really think of it. I'm real big into being conscious. I was so unconscious for so long in my life that's just something that, that just comes to mind. And another thing that comes to mind, and by the way, we are with Maya Aziz, certified humor professional. And we are talking, obviously, about humor in our relationship part. I'd like to mention people who would like a loving partner and can't get there. Mm-hmm. Or you're kind of there, but, you know, the partner isn't sticking, and then you try to meet someone else. You know, people in that whole dating scene. I was in it for a very, very long time. I'm getting married in 2 months. I'm a much older bride. So I have been through that pain at length. And I believe that my sense of humor, you know, got me through it. But people going through that kind of pain, when they see what they perceive as other very happy couples, people having fun, people, you know, doing whatever they do, can really bring someone down if they're so focused on finding another person. I talk a lot about healthy self-esteem, having hope, using gratitude and those kinds of tools around that to be able to get what you want out of life, whether it's a loving partner or whatever you want. But when you're single, you know, it can really get you down, especially during certain times of the year when you're going to, you know, 15 weddings that year and you don't even have anybody to go with, and all of the things that people suffer with at different times in their life, depending upon whether they're single, whether they're just divorced, whether they're going through something, they're separated. Do you have any comments, Maya, around, you know, helping people who are in want of something and just can't seem to get it? Have you met those types of people, and have they been able to use humor to change their perspective?
Wow, that's a great question. I mean, you asked, do I have any comments? My first comment is I agree so much that it's hard. I mean, I think when you're in that moment of life, it is really hard. And as you say, you know, when things haven't worked out, and or perhaps repeatedly haven't worked out, and you're seeing other people where everything seems to be perfect and rosy, and, you know, the holiday season, for example, Valentine's Day comes around. Like there's all kinds of these moments that are really, really difficult. And I'm very respectful of that. Though, you know, one thing I would say is, you know, all those people that you think everything is perfect and rosy, it probably isn't all the time. We also don't always show everything that's going on. And sometimes we need to be a bit, you know, conscious of that as well, and be careful about the assumptions that we make. You know, I do think, you know, for me, humor, you know, it really is a tool for resilience. Now, whether it is that you need that resilience and strength, getting through the heartbreak and hardships of relationships or dating, or whether it's something else, it's kind of the same. I mean, it really is a tool that builds your character strength. And in fact, if you know about the field of positive psychology, you know, the father of positive psychology, Martin Seligman, identified these character strengths. There's like sort of 24 character strengths or virtues, and one of them is humor, because it really is a strength that we have, and I will say that we can develop, anyone can develop, that can help you get through these difficult moments. What I would say is that when you're in those difficult moments, that's probably not the time to think that you're going to suddenly remember, oh yeah, I've got to use humor, I've got to find humor. It's not going to work. That's the last thing you're going to think of in that moment when you're suffering. It actually has to be, you know, it sounds silly, but I really say to people, practice laughing, you know, and practice now and practice all the time. And then it becomes something that you will instinctually use or fall back on or rely on or seek out, and it will make a difference when you need it. You know, there's different ways of trying to add humor to your life or develop humor in your life. And it can be very individual, you know, whether it is that you know, think about moments when you have laughed. You know, are there particular comedy films that really, you know, work for you, and you remind yourself? I've had friends who have actually got a cardboard box, and that's been their humor toolkit, and they put things in there, whether it's a list of their favorite comedy films or little cartoons or, you know, names and numbers of the friends that they like hanging out with that always make them laugh. And it's there and it's ready. And when they're feeling blue, they'll go to their little box and open up their humor kit and find something that will make them feel a little bit better. I mentioned the friends who make you laugh. And I think, you know, you were asking about when someone's going through a hard time, they've had heartbreak and things aren't working out, what can they do in that moment? You know, when they're really wanting something and they're focused so much on finding this partner, you know, I tend to say perhaps, you know, look at your other relationships in your life that do make you feel good and make you feel better. And that might be your friendships or your family or your colleagues or whoever it is. And we all have those friends. I know I've got, you know, I have three girlfriends who I don't actually see very regularly. But I can tell you that sort of a few times a year, one of us will suddenly reach out and say, girls, we need to get together because, you know, they're going through a gloomy time or, you know, they're just not their best self. And we all know that if we go out for dinner, we are going to laugh for about 3 hours straight and we're going to feel better afterwards. And so I think my recommendation is, it's hard, I know, not to focus on this thing that we want or, you know, seeing everybody else seemingly in these happy relationships. But sometimes, you know, taking that moment to cultivate our other kinds of relationships can bring us to a different place where we're then ready, perhaps, to be open to finding that healthy romantic relationship.
I just go get drunk when I'm depressed. No, I'm kidding. Well, maybe I have a couple times, okay? Sorry, but the wine doesn't hurt, okay? No, but you're right. You're right. It's... you got to tap into people. And I have to laugh because I'm just sitting here thinking about my very irreverent friend, one of my best friends for 30 some years. She's been with somebody a long time now, but she, on Valentine's Day, she used to wear black head to toe.
Oh my God.
No jewelry. She goes, I won't put jewelry on. And wears no makeup. And like, I would like fall over laughing when I saw her. I go, oh God, look at you. The Grim Reaper. You're awesome. And she just loved it because she just made fun of it. I can't say it either made her feel better. It was her sense of humor. She wore a ponytail. You know, she's blonde, blue eyes. Just put her hair in a ponytail, black head to toe, nothing else. And I'm like, wow. And I believe she still does it. She's been with somebody for 10 years. But I don't know. I just think it made her feel fun. You know, it was something so different. But I loved it. I did do it with her a couple of times. But I think I wore jewelry, but, you know, I've got to glam up when I'm wearing all black. But so whatever it takes. I mean, that was her way of saying, pardon the French, I won't use the word, but like kind of F you, I'm going to have fun. And that's what we're going to do. So I really, it does make me laugh today. I am going to have to ask her if she's still doing that, because I think it's a great way to let off stress. And stress is one of the biggest things that we need to do. Stress is killing us, and it's not to be a downer, but stress is killing us. You know, at least, you know, in the U.S. it is, I would assume in all of North America, we get too stressed and with everything. And that's one of the best ways to let it loose. And like you said, the movies, being with somebody who makes you laugh, just putting something on in the car that makes you laugh. If there's a talk show or whatever that might be, just tap, like you said, tap into it. It's really great advice to kind of pull yourself off. And I also say, we're not talking about gratitude on this show, but there's lots of tools you can use, but humor is just a really big one.
Yeah. First of all, I think your friend sounds fabulous.
She really is.
You know, and so she was doing that to cope, and like, well done, I say to her. And it also makes me think the other thing about humor, sometimes when we're feeling down in the dumps in that kind of situation, it's because something has happened that has created the sense of a loss of control. Perhaps it was out of our control. Something happened and we didn't have control over it. And humor, or using humor, can sometimes be this little way of feeling a regained sense of control in our lives. And that's what I thought of when you were describing your friend, that, you know, like, well done to her for taking control of this. Yeah, you know, she was not perhaps where she wanted to be, but she was going to do something on that day to cope and did it in kind of a hilarious way. So that's a great story.
Yep. Yep. But I'm sure lots of people have great stories to share. So you know, most of our people listen through podcasts, which is why we don't we don't take callers live very much, but we all have tons of stories. And I think if we just tap into that, we'll feel better. And that's what life's all about. Sometimes you just have to go moment by moment. So Maya, Aziz, I really thank you for providing us this great information and having a really good time with you. And I want to take the last couple minutes for people to know how they can find you. I know that you've got Morning Moments with Maya, which is on 9 a.m. Eastern on Blog Talk Radio. Tell our folks how they can find you.
Sure. It has been so much fun to be on this show, Lori. I have to thank you so much. You can certainly reach me. I have a website, www.withloveandlaughter.ca. And you can get links to the radio show on there, as well as some writing that I do and various other things. And I love to connect with people over social media. So, you know, my call name is just Maya Aziz. That's MAIAAZI. I'm on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, and I really do enjoy connecting with people who are interested in connecting and talking perhaps more and sharing on these same topics. So it would be lovely to hear from people.
Well, thank you so much again for being on the Happiness Hangout.
Thank you, Lori. What a wonderful, wonderful conversation.
Thanks. Thank you. Humanity Thriving Out Loud, The Magic Happens magazine. Read it at www.themagichappensnow.com. Also, my book, Getting Married at Last, My Journey from Hopelessness to Happiness, will be coming out on Tuesday, August 8th. You'll be able to get it in paperback and Kindle on Amazon. If you want to find me, you know you can always do that at www.happinesshangout.net. Thanks for joining us, everyone, and see you next time.
Hi, this is your host, Lori. Want to get more happiness? Check out all the free readings, activities, and my blog at my website. Want to learn how to deal with life's challenges from your positive core? Check out Empowering Yourself to Happiness class, done totally online. You can find it all at www.happinesshangout.com. www.happinesshangout.net. Come explore and feel better wherever you are. This is Lori Peters with the Happiness Hangout. I provide presentations on happiness and well-being to businesses, schools, and anyone involved in wellness and professional days. Check out tons of free resources and activities also at my website, www.happinesshangout.net. Feel better wherever you are. Help us grow the Happiness Hangout Show. Become a sponsor. Businesses and nonprofits, get your info out there to thousands of my listeners all over the world for just pennies. Individuals can also sponsor one or more shows, and you get a shout out to your favorite charity. Several packages available. Come see what you get and put out there what's important to you. Go to www.happinesshangout.net. www.happinesshangout.net for more information.